Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast. It's Joe Marino, Kyle Krabs, and Chris Schubert from the Draft Network. And we are your hosts here on this Friday episode of the show. It's a Friday free-for-all. And before we really dive into it, you guys got to check out Bet Online. It is the best place to bet on all your favorite sports. They've got football, NHL, pro and college hoops, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. They've got an updated website for your desktop or your mobile device. So check it out. Head on over to betonline.ag and use our promo code BLEAV. That's B-L-E-A-V. And you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. Kyle, welcome to you to this podcast. There's no bonus or anything, but you know, just the normal pay here. So welcome.
What's up? How's everybody doing?
Are you playing any spins here on a Friday? I know you did this last week on the podcast. Any spins today on the show?
You know what? I didn't have it open, but now that you mention it.
No.
There goes $20.
First of all, last time I played, I was up $3 by the end of the podcast, you jackass. Second of all, I'm in a great place because I hit my props parlay on Sunday. So I have more money in my account right now than I've had in weeks.
I know, but we're doing deep dives on players. The focus has got to be there. And if you're getting free spins, and it's just not going to go well for the show. I just don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, you're never going to know, because actually you would know if I hit free spins. But as far as you're concerned, we're doing deep dives on two players that Joe and I have done for our initial final report write-ups for the upcoming 2022 NFL draft season. And we each found the player in the first week that we believed in so much that we assigned top 10 evaluation grades based on film to these two players. And that's obviously very exciting. Top 10 film grade or top 10 evaluations are scarce. They're hard to come by. But Joe, I don't know about you, between the one you gave out, the one that I gave out, the one that Dre gave out this week, and the one Keith gave out, we got a pretty good representation already. And there's been certain classes where we've gotten through the whole class and you don't find 10 guys that you're like, yeah, this guy would really, truly, in a perfect world, end up being a top 10 pick.
Well, and we start with the best player. So, I mean, if we're going to catch him, we usually do towards the beginning. But I do feel encouraged that we can have – as far as consensus goes, that gets a little bit dicey, but maybe five, right? Like five or six consensus, like everybody's on board, top 10 caliber prospect in any year. I mean, which is good. And I think that's a good number to get to if we can. I mean, obviously it's not a goal or anything like that. Like it falls where it falls, but you know, we've talked about some of the dynamics of this class and how there's some blue chippers, but then there's kind of that drop off. And so I think this year, as much as any year, it's important for us to find these premium talents, the guys that you know, you're not going to want to trade away from if you get a chance to pull the trigger on one of these guys in the top 10.
Do you know how many consensus top 10 picks we had in last year's class?
I'd guess 4.
We did have 4. They were Trevor Lawrence, Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts, and Jaylen Waddle. Those were Ja'Marr Chase was our next highest ranked, or I'm sorry, Justin Fields and then Ja'Marr Chase were our next highest ranked players. But those were the 4 that got consensus top 10 grades from the entirety of our group for the 2021 NFL draft. So you mentioning, well, if we can get the 6, then you know, this is kind of a shift from what we originally anticipated this draft class was going to look like. Right. Because we had initially said, yeah, man, like you get through the first 6 spots or so and you get a real hard time in mock drafts starting to find some guys. But there's some fresh names that are working their way in here.
Well, Kyle, can I jump in real quick and just ask, like, isn't that the fun part of the process is you go into it with this idea of, hey, this is what it's going to look like. And over the course of the evaluations and the presentations that you guys are starting to do, you start to kind of evolve. And, you know, we talked about it. The edge class in particular has got 20 names in the most recent TDN 100. Right. And so there are these bright spots that you can pick from all of this as this process kind of expands outward.
Yes, it's a fluid process. Right. And we're now kind of at the point where film resumes are coming to a close, and that fluidity of this part of the process, now you're kind of going to set guys in what bucket they're going to be in. And then the rest of the process is going to help you break the ties within those buckets, so to say.
So it's that time of year, man. Final film assessments, the initial watch. Later we'll do cross checks and really flesh out the entire process. But we're in that early stage here. And like Kyle said, we got a couple of top 10 grades that at least Kyle and I have given out so far. And so shall we have the deep dive conversation on these players?
Yes. Would you like to start?
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay. Cool.
I'm guessing the title of this podcast will probably tell people which player I'm going to talk about. So I'll lose any dramatic effect here. The player we're getting to is North Carolina State offensive tackle Ikem Ekwonu. And I've been dialed in on Ekwonu for 3 years now, and I love that. I love having been, like, in the region and, like, seeing players develop and having, like, the full picture of their career, right? It's really, really fun. And mm-hmm. So I think that actually helps me buy in even more on Ekwonu because I've seen the ascension and the glow up. So quick note here on the background, I think it's important. He comes from a family of athletes. His twin brother, he plays linebacker at Notre Dame. His father played college basketball in Nigeria, and his mother was a track star in high school. And so nice athletic background. He also wrestled in high school in addition to playing football. And so I just kind of like to mention those things. I think one thing that you'll notice, a common denominator for top NFL talent is a lot of these guys played multiple sports in high school. And so Ekwonu definitely fits that, and his family, you know, a bunch of athletes as well. So Ekwonu was a true freshman starter at left tackle for NC State. And outside of like one game at left guard across 3 seasons, I mean, he pretty much entrenched himself as the Wolfpack's left tackle. And he has an elite trait. It's his ability to run block. I mean, this guy is an absolute monster when he's run blocking. He's widening gaps, getting to the second level. He can handle power stacked right on top of him. And it's just pancake after pancake after pancake. I mean, this guy has devastating ability to create movement up front and move people against their will. I mean, he just snatches souls. He puts people on their back. And from day one, I get very excited about the impact that he can have on an NFL offensive line in terms of improving the toughness and the mindset and the mentality, the edge that unit's going to have. And so he can bring toughness and physicality to your football team. And so the run blocking really stands out. And I love the control that he has. A lot of times you'll see these offensive linemen that are maulers in the run game that want to create this space, but They don't have good control of their frame. They're all over the place. They're just looking to bury people, which you like, but you really like it when there's good body control and good coordination, you know, from their upper and lower half. It's all working together to create this power. And he complements that with, you know, really, really exciting grip strength. And when he gets his hands on guys, when he locks horns, when he sets the clamps, I mean, this guy is not easily displaced in terms of him blocking in the run game. And so he's just a complete run blocker. NC State, very much a wide zone type rushing offense. And so you might hear me talk and think, well, this is a gap blocking scheme type player, which he certainly can do, but do not just eliminate this guy in a zone scheme, because he's a terrific run blocker in the wide zone attack, and the way that he creates that movement and just really makes these creases even longer is really good. So he's not just he's an across the board scheme fit, right? Is in terms of pass protection, this is where I've seen the most growth from Equanu. I mean, this guy was burying dudes from the first time he walked on the football field for NC State, but the growth has come in pass protection, and most notably this past year. Now, where I think he's really made the most strides is how he frames blocks by getting to his set points and just being a lot more consistent with his mirroring ability, staying square, getting his hands on guys, you know, taking advantage of the best parts of his game, which are his size, his length, his power, and using that to get on top of pass rushers quicker and control them. Because like I said, if he sets the clamps, you're not getting around him. And so he uses that length, and he really does a good job of widening rush angles. Now, where I think there's a little bit of an issue is sometimes he can be susceptible to that inside move. And I think that's where some of the stiffness and I would call modest lateral quickness shows up. And if you want to really see an example of that, check out the Clemson game from this past year, where Miles Murphy, one of their, you know, all-world recruits underclassmen, was able to really threaten and attack and cross his face a few times. And you saw Equanu just kind of struggle to redirect and take, you know, kind of shut down that inside gap. So that's kind of the thing that I get concerned about with him right now. But in terms of that overall ascension as a pass blocker, with the footwork, with how he's framing blocks, with how he's getting his hands on people, with his length, I went into the season after watching him over the summer thinking, man, I think he might have to play guard. I came out of watching him in 2021 feeling very good about him being a high-quality left tackle in the NFL. So there's my – I guess that wasn't the elevator pitch. That was definitely a big dump of my thoughts on Equanu. But there's something about watching this guy play and him execute and just impose himself on other human beings that gets me really, really excited.
So obviously the obligatory parallel, and this is going to be the third time that I've asked you this in a very short amount of time. But we always, you think about a power player with heavy hands who's kind of overwhelming at the point of attack. And the name of Kai Becton is the one in most recent memory that has really bubbled up and is the most recent prominent example of this kind of player. And I have enjoyed hearing your insights, and I think the listeners of the show would enjoy hearing your insights as far as parallels and discrepancies between what Equanu brings as somebody who's really solidified himself in his final season versus a guy like Mekhi Becton, who made a monstrous leap of his own into top 10 territory, which, I mean, Joe, this is what we're talking about right now with Equanu based on the evaluation you gave.
Yeah, I think it's a really fair player to bring up, and I like Becton, and I think Becton's going to be a good player. I'm concerned about some of the things that Coach Saleh has said about his weight and those types of things about where he's at physically, but we know he's extremely capable, extremely talented. I mean, kind of a rare specimen. But where I think those two players really get separated for me is you love the power that they both have, the size, the length, all that's really, really good. I feel like Equanu just is a more polished player. Like from a technique perspective, you see Equanu much further ahead than Becton was at the same point in their respective college careers. And, you know, Becton really just kind of had that last year at Louisville. And you saw him just being able to take advantage of just being bigger and stronger than everybody that he had to face. And like technique was a bit of an afterthought because he didn't need it. And for Equanu, I think you've seen him develop into a more polished technician And that's enabled him to maximize that power in his overall like physical skill set because he's really improved from a technique perspective. And so that's where I get a lot. That's where I find a lot more optimism in Ekwonu. And I don't want to talk down on Becton because I like Becton. I had a first round grade on Becton, but that's where I distinguish the two. It's just that they both give you the power. I mean, obviously Ekwonu is not as big as Becton. I mean, but you get the same type
of
power.
How does his power
compare?
More
technique. Well, I mean, they both deliver knockout blows, man. I think Becton may have more, to be honest with you. It's just like it's kind of like that brute power. It's just like I can throw you around the club, where Ekwonu is more, okay, yeah, I can throw you around the club, but I'm going to do it in a more coordinated way to get my body working in unison in terms of rolling my hips into you and fitting my hands and accelerating my feet and doing those types of things to maximize my play strength, as opposed to, all right, you're in my way. I'm, you know, King Kong, and you're going to be thrown to the ground. You know, just kind of different application of the power.
So, predictively, the ceiling and the floor. And obviously, we don't know what the final draft order is going to look like for another month or so. But kind of just knowing what teams are going to be in that range. And do we see top five, like where Andrew Thomas got drafted a couple years ago in that really good offensive tackle class that had Mekhi Becton in it with all those other names?
I feel like I want to see more of Evan Neal and Charles Cross before I answer this. But I mean, I'm not going to dodge the question. I just feel like having that answer will really help me feel better about what I would say, but I just feel like there's so much for a team to fall in love with here with Ekwonu, right? Like everything I just talked about in terms of the skill set and the background, like every indication I've been able to get is that he's a high character guy. Like I just feel like he can be viewed as this type of player that can obviously solidify your offensive line, but kind of a foundational piece that is going to bring leadership and toughness to your football team. Like there's more than him just being a quality player. Like he's going to impact your team. And so, you know, if Andrew Thomas can be is picked as high as he can, I certainly feel like Ekwonu's in that range. It's going to be about, all right, well, who's going to fall in love? Who has the need? But, you know, I think in that 5 to 15 range, I think that seems like an appropriate bucket.
Let me do this. I have Tankathon, our dear friends at Tankathon, up. I'm going to read you some teams. You tell me yes or no. They may, if you make sense. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
The New York Giants.
Man. Sure. I mean, like, they should be interested in him and that creates some weird dynamics, but I think you have to embrace him because I think he can help you get your best five on the field.
I think if you're going to get your best five on the field, you could probably play Thomas at right tackle, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I believe
he got to look there last year, yeah. So the New York Jets.
Yes.
Who plays right tackle in that situation?
Becton.
Probably Mekhi, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, to me, just because I think he has more room for technical growth. So, like, break him now, right? Like,
right. The Carolina Panthers.
Oh, God, please. Print the jerseys. Print
hometown
the jerseys,
kid.
Man.
the Miami Dolphins.
If you tell me that Eichenberg is going to play guard, yeah. I mean, not that Eichenberg would stop you from Ekwonu. Here's the thing about Miami, and I've bought into this the more you've talked about it, Kyle, is that how many more draft picks are we going to use on this offensive line? Like, you got to get some veterans in there. You got to get some more known commodities. So I think that's where I may pivot a little bit. But in terms of prototype of that Dolphins regime, yeah, I mean, he's everything they want.
So that's the extent of teams that you would generally consider to be left tackle needy or offensive line needy in the first half of the first round. So if you are a fan of one of those teams with the way that the draft order is set right now, maybe go watch some Ekwonu.
And probably an important thing to mention here is if you're a team that's not in that top 15, probably get this guy off your radar unless you're going to move
up.
Just
go ahead.
Yeah, because he's been like my sneaky, like, you know, I'm a Bills fan. I'm like, oh, this guy would be great in the 20s. Like, yeah, you're damn right he would. He's just not going to be there.
Right.
So not that I'm predicting never with say my, never, my but ranking, but yeah.
There's a team that, you know, could move up. But like you said, it's that's a long way to go for an offensive tackle in a class that you mentioned, Evan Neal, who may also be in this conversation. Charles Cross may also be in this conversation. Trevor Penning in the back end of the first round, potentially. So like the Ohio State kids, there's options, right? So not sure you would see that all in approach, especially for a team in the 20s to get into the range where you are grading Ekwonu. I would like the record to state that during the course of Joe's presentation, I did win $12.90 on a 10-cent spin on Dragon Quest. I kept it to myself. I got 7 free spins. I got the 3 multiplier, and one of the perks was every one of the columns, every free spin turned into wilds. And then there was a 3X multiplier. So Dragon Quest, our friends over BetOnline, came in the clutch. They just got me some Arby's for college football Saturday tomorrow. So,
and in Kyle's defense, that was the third time he's heard me talk about Ekwonu today. So,
yeah, it's been a long day for Kyle in that regard.
I would like to hear about Aiden Hutchinson for a second time today, though. That would make me happy.
Sure. Yeah, well, this is Joe talking about up here outside of a certain range. Go ahead and get this guy off your radar. The list is even shorter than top 15 for Aiden Hutchinson. So Aiden Hutchinson, I'll give you the quick kind of scouting meeting style presentation that I gave of Aiden earlier today. And Joe, you can pivot this wherever you thought my most interesting commentary came. And Chris, if you have anything to add as well, please feel free. But Aiden Hutchinson is 6'0", 5'0", so 6'5". 265-pound estimate defensive end from the University of Michigan. If you are building out a 4-3 defensive end prospect and assembling the required tools for a dominant prospect, the end result looks a lot like Aiden Hutchinson. This is a prototypical hand-in-the-dirt defensive end. He's a second-generation Michigan Wolverine football player. His father, Chris, played for the team from 89 to 92 and was the team's MVP in 1992, and Aiden plays with the kind of motor and passion that leaves little doubt for his enthusiasm for both the game and the program as a second-generation player, but that effort becomes a much more special product when you appreciate it's paired with one of the most dynamic athletic profiles eligible for this year's class. He came in at number 2 on The Athletic's Bruce Feldman's Freaks list, the annual list of the best freak athletes in college football. Length, power, fundamentals, effort, speed, they're all there. And he has fully realized his potential this year. Ironically enough, he is currently, as of going into the Ohio State game, he is not currently leading the team in sacks. That honor goes to David Ojabo. But you do watch them play Michigan, and it is quite clear that that left guard or that right guard at times is quite often heading 97's way. And he's the one who gets a little bit extra attention a lot of the time as far as the rush for Michigan that has 2 really, really good prospects in it this year. I have no qualms about projecting Hutchinson into any kind of defensive system, odd or even front, 4-man down, 3-man down, rush outside linebacker from a 2-point stance, coming out of a 3-point stance with his hand in the dirt. Teams that like to heat you up and get special rush packages, whether it's like the Patriot-style 5-0 pressure package or the NASCAR personnel, they're going to love Hutchinson because throughout the course of his time at Michigan, he played stand-up outside linebacker, base end, 4-eye, 3 technique, was down on 0 tech when he was playing for Don Brown, and he is somebody who has a lot of experience and a lot of wins in a lot of different alignments going all the way back to 2019, when you watched him play, they played against Alabama in the bowl game that year. And he still found a way moving all around on that front against Alabama's offensive line to have an impact. He did have a broken leg last year, which helped contribute to his return to college football in 2021. But that decision has probably boosted his draft stock by at minimum a half a round and is going to end up making him a lot of money. I appreciate the fact that he's experience to transition in defensive systems. They brought in Mike McDonald, the linebackers coach from Baltimore, to run the defense this year. and he's very active pre-snap, making the calls, getting guys lined up, signaling with his hands, a very cerebral football player. Reminds me a lot of Nick Bosa as far as his pass rush counters and his ability to win and play off and the athleticism that he brings to the table. He's billed as, according to Bruce Feldman, a better athlete than either one of the Bosa brothers, which is pretty eye-opening kind of factoid about him as a prospect. But if you're outside probably the top five, you'll either be ready to trade up or go find another one of these great pass rushers in this year's class.
One of my favorite things that you brought up earlier, and you hinted at it in this presentation of Hutchinson, was talking about the defensive coordinator change and what that meant from a rush coordination perspective in terms of it being a bit more straight up now as opposed to running some two-man game and just trying to design ways to get people free. And I think since you've said that, I thought a lot about going back and thinking about watching Kwity Paye and even Josh Uche and some of those pass rushers and how you kind of wish you saw some more straight up opportunities. And you saw that from Hutchinson and your watch. And so like I enjoyed you expanding on some of those dynamics and how that's brought out even more in Hutchinson. And I thought that maybe that would be a good thing for you to rehash here a bit.
Yeah. So the games that I watched from this year on tape with all 22, I watched three games from previous seasons, Ohio State and Alabama in 2019, Alabama being the bowl game. I think that was in January 1st game, so it was technically 2020 calendar year. Minnesota last year. And then I watched Washington, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Indiana, Nebraska, and Penn State from 2021. And did not really see him condensed inside in pass rush situations all that often. He was a man on the line of scrimmage, either a 2 or 3 point stance. Kind of their nickel rush group was him and Ajabo with two defensive tackles, usually 58 and 15. And they're killing him. And you know, if they brought pressure, it was usually off the edge. Daxton Hill, they've moved into the nickel this year and he's firing off the edge. But it's not a lot of the sim pressures and overloads with droppers underneath, and you got linebackers mugged up in gaps. And if you remember studying like Cam McGrone and Josh Uche, like you said, and how those guys were up on these interior gaps, and sometimes they're firing, sometimes they're looping, sometimes you got your defensive linemen who are lined up in A and B gaps and they're slanting and crashing and trying to occupy and bump offensive linemen off their spots to create these rush lanes. They're just trusting Aiden Hutchinson. And I'll tell you what, his ability to cut inside is about as smooth as any pass rusher I've seen in the last couple of years. Where, first of all, I think he's got the heaviest hands of a top of the first round pass rusher in the last couple of years, too. When you talk about reducing angles, which is something we've talked about a lot on this show, about kind of collapsing an offensive lineman, that initial punch and blow, and you see him consistently with that punch extending through, playing on the plus side of the line of scrimmage. Now, usually you would associate that kind of physicality with SEC country, Joe. And you know, we're going to get a chance to see some SEC country here. So as a quick aside, in the next couple of days. So you want to remind everybody about what's going on with the dudes? Yeah.
What could possibly be better than guys being dudes on the road in Atlanta, December 4th, the Draft Network, the TDN team, which is the Draft Network, Draft Dudes, the Bud Light Seltzer folks. We're all going to be down there in the CSX lot across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium for Bama versus Georgia, the SEC championship on the line. Certainly a big game when it comes to the college football playoff implications. I can't wait to see what Chris is going to do if Alabama loses and then the committee still puts him in with two losses. That should be quite the podcast to not miss when Shuby has to deal with handling those emotions. I've heard some rumors about there being a guest DJ that you wouldn't want to miss. You know, look, there's a lot going down December 4th in the CSX lot across from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We want to see you there. Bud Light Seltzer, the Draft Network, Draft Dudes, bringing you the tailgate for the SEC Championship game. So come on out, hang out with us, and have a good time.
So, Kyle, real quick, anyway.
Can I sneak in one more here for a question here? Are you You want to continue that thought?
Yeah, I just wanted to finish real quick that Aiden's inside swim move is very, very good. So the fact that it sets up as well as it does is because he's a 4'6 athlete, and he's got powerful hands, so he can convert speed to power. But he's got a nasty rip and dip that he'll hit you with outside. So a lot of times you see these guys are real eager to kind of eke out. And then because they've let these guys off the leash this year, what he'll end up doing is coming in with this real tight inside swim move and working back across face when you do overset him. So he's an absolute nightmare to account for everything that he does as a pass rusher.
I want to do the worst possible thing in the world, and I want to retract my desire to ask a question. And the reason, Chris, no, I did this for you, because the question that I was going to ask is like entire podcast worthy, and I'm not trying to hold Kyle to like a minute. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that I think would be good for us to examine potentially later in the cycle to really, really have a conversation I think a lot of people will care about. So I'm retracting my desire to ask a question.
It has been removed from the record. You never even attempted to ask a question on the show.
Thank you. All right.
Anything else? Any other questions for Aiden?
Well, Joe just retracted his question.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
I don't know what else. Yeah, I put us in a weird spot.
I put us in a bad spot. But
So nobody's got anything for me, huh?
Well, no. A bit of the question I was going to ask you, and I at risk of this going further than I wanted to.
So now you're just going to ask the question.
No, I'm not going to. The second part of the question I'm not going to bring to the table. When you gave this presentation to the scouting staff,
yes.
You know, I'm listening to the way you're talking about Hutchinson, and I had to say, why would he fail? You know, I think that's a good question to ask when you're talking about this type of talent. Honestly, it's a good question to ask about any prospect that you're considering. Like, why would they fail?
Yeah. And
so I liked your answer there, but I don't want to go too far. I don't want to go exactly where we went in the meeting, because I thought that was probably a good entire show conversation if you guys can read between the lines.
Yeah. So I'll give them the first portion of what my response was, which was Aiden Hutchinson is both a high floor player and a high ceiling player. And that becomes very appealing, right? When you kind of get a sense for what you believe you're going to be getting. And I would say Aiden Hutchinson follows the pathway that we have most frequently seen high-level pass rushers take to getting to being high-level pass rushers at the NFL level. There are a lot of parallels with his game and his style of play, and it gives me a high level of confidence that no matter what system you put him in, no matter what scheme he's in, no matter what other players are around him, obviously every player is somewhat dependent upon having competency around them, that Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a very, very, very good and impactful player at the NFL level, which is why he is my highest to date assigned grade, top 10 valuation.
Probably going to be tough to beat from your bucket, right?
Well, I got Linderbaum that I got to finish for today's presentation. He ain't going to beat Aiden Hutchinson. I've done Ajabo. I've done Olave. Yeah.
You got Notre Dame.
What's that going to give me that's going to challenge
Hamilton?
Aiden Hutchinson. Oh, you know what? Kyle Hamilton. Yeah, duh, Kyle.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
Some chances.
I'm pulling up the rest of my regional watch list. Ohio State's not going to have anybody that's going to challenge that. I would be very surprised if Penn State, despite having several guys I think could be first-round prospects, is going to beat that. I'd be very surprised if Karlaftis beats that. I'd be surprised if Wisconsin doesn't have anybody that's going to touch that, we're being honest. And then my two SEC teams are Kentucky and Missouri. So it's probably Kyle Hamilton or bust. beat that. He's a good player. This was a good week here on the Draft Dudes podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure you hit subscribe, follow along. We got a lot of great content coming, a lot more of these deep dive scouting conversations for individual prospects as we continue to get through them in our region at first. And then we go through cross checks, and that's when we'll really be able to start painting big picture, deep dive, nuanced conversations about not just individual prospects, but the entirety of a class. But this process is fluid. There's only so much time of the day. We got to watch these guys one at a time and really be nuanced with them and give each one of them the attention that they deserve as they are preparing to make the jump to the NFL. So it's a long haul, and we hope you are there with us. Kyle Krabs with Joe Mann and Chris Schubert. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast. We hope you make it a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.